Well, that's excellent. So, in what way could I be of assistance in talking about LDS games?
I just wanted to get, kind of your experience, any insights, and any of that kind of stuff, just with your experience with your two games and working
That
with Covenant
sounds
and that kind of
great.
thing.
Let's we'll jump right into these to start with, and then certainly follow up with any others that you have. But what made me first decide to design a game was that my real passion isn't so much game designs, but I love games. My family and I have two major game get-togethers a year. One of them is turned into a 4-day thing where we rented a, area of a state park,
Wow.
and so it's become really quite a thing. So we do really enjoy fun sorts of games. My favorite calling in the church is teaching seminary, and my whole goal in everything that I do is to try to engage kids in the scriptures, and make them exciting, bring them to life, just help to share the enthusiasm that I have for them. And so I've tried to come up with different ways to do that. Art is one of the ways that I like to use for that. And that's a direction that I'm really pushing forward in. But at the time, we had moved. I had been doing just tons with seminary, building props and visuals and all that kind of stuff. And when we moved from Oregon to Wisconsin, they already had a seminary teacher. And so I found myself called as the branch clerk, which allows for really no creative anything. It was very challenging, but very eye-opening to me. And I remember in sitting in church one day and just going, "I'm going to go crazy if I don't come up with some outlet creatively where the church is concerned." And I really felt strongly that I should put more effort into the kids were getting old enough now that I thought, hey, I could start to create more for them in family home evenings and stuff. So I turned all my attention to them, and one of the things I'd come up with was a card game. The backstory to that is really that at the time, Yu-Gi-Oh was very popular, and they did a very smart thing in the U.S. It's a complicated game. So what they did was they introduced a half-hour TV show, the whole purpose of which was to teach kids how to play this complicated game. But they didn't release any product for a whole year. And
Wow.
so the kids kept watching the show, really got into the show, and then they released all the product. So by that time, the kids didn't have to go through the big book of how to play the game. They already knew, having watched the show. So before the product came out, though, my boys were really anxious for a battle card game. And so I first gave them some blank cards and said, "Hey, you should make your own game." Well, that didn't really go anywhere. So,
How old were they at that point?
well, at the time, I think, gosh, must have been like 7, 8 years old, was the oldest. And so then one Sunday afternoon, I got the idea to just create a real simple game, use the gameplay of war, and then make some cards, good guy cards, bad guy cards, and Book of Mormon seemed to be the best fit. It's something I have a real passion for. So I just made some sketches, scanned some art that other people had done, and whatever it took to put the game together and so forth. Well, that worked out fine for a little bit, but then the kids started, they really hated the low cards, which in war, you do hate the low cards. But there was real people. So the time that one of my sons laid down, he said, "I have so and so," and then my son said, "Oh, I only have Laconius." Like, only Laconius? You can't say that. So then I thought, well, this is horrible. I mean, this is a numbers game using Book of Mormon people, but it's not, it's not. They're only looking at the cool numbers, and of course somebody's got to have the low numbers. So then I started adding in cards to try to offset that equation and try to power up the lower cards and just give them a little bit more of something to do. And it kind of turned into something fun, and we played it quite a bit. And friends were saying, "Hey, you should really do something with this." And so I finally got convinced to give that a shot. And it
So,
looked Oh, go ahead.
At this point, you were just printing on your printer and cutting it up and whatever
Laminating
things
the
happen.
cards
Oh.
and had my own, I had one deck, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, I made the cards gigantic.
Well, that's kids. They like the bigger thing.
I guess they were like, what is it, 4.5 inches tall or something like that. They were
Wow.
just absurdly large cards. And anyway, I had them, lined up like four per page. And
Wow.
so anyways, whatever the case, I finally decided just to look into who was doing what with games. And the only LDS company that was doing anything of any kind of quality with games was Covenant.
Right.
So on a whim, I just emailed them and gave them a description of the game and a couple of sample cards. And now the response time on that is usually a few weeks, but they had sent me an email back in a couple hours and said, "Hey, we have been looking for something like this, and I would be interested in getting a sample deck." So I sent it in. Heard back from them in a couple of weeks when they had a chance to play test it with others, and they said, "We'd like to publish your game." And I said, "Great, can I do all the pictures?" And they said, "That'd be great. Can you do
So,
it by April?" And I said, "Well, sure." And I hung up the phone and went, "How in the world am I going to do all this by April?" But I was very excited to do it.
So at the beginning, you didn't say, "Hey, I'm an artist and I've got this game idea, and I can do all the
No,
images and things."
I didn't have any idea how this was supposed to work. I just knew, I mean, I was working as an artist at the time, and I knew that it would take a lot of effort to do, small portraits of all these. There was like 60 different paintings that I needed to do. And so, and plus I had a full-time job supervising an art studio for an interior company. And so I just was, I had been wanting to do and dreamed of doing Book of Mormon stuff for a huge chunk of my life. And I just figured that it would happen somewhere further down the road when I was more established and could take the time and so forth. So this first opportunity, even though it wasn't going to be fine art per se, I was very excited at the opportunity to give it a go. I hadn't ever designed costumes. I hadn't thought about a lot of things that I really needed to think about by way of putting together, what these people would look like or should look like or could look like. So that was, they had not worked with me or seen much of my art either. So there was a lot of, from the art director, make sure to send in sketches as you go and so forth. But after the first, 10 drawings that they really liked, then that wasn't a big deal anymore. They trusted that I could put it together. But the speed at which I had to go through these paintings was made it a little bit painful to look at some of them that I just, some I'm pleased with, some are okay, and some I just despised. So, but we'll move on. That kind of takes us forward into the next
Oh yeah, we've moved.
project.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's the question then, is you got that all finished. And during that whole process, were you considering a second game, or did they
I wasn't
ask for another
because
one,
I
or?
didn't have any ideas. When this one came out, and again, this was just an idea to get my kids involved in scriptures. And one of the things that was real exciting to me was when we'd be reading the Book of Mormon as a family, and we'd talk about Lamoni or somebody, and they'd go, "Oh, we have a card of that guy. He's, and they'd remember the points and everything. And they'd run off and get the card, and they'd bring it out." And I thought, okay, that's really cool. Because now they're starting to pay attention to those characters,
Now, are
those
these
people.
just boys, or do you have some girls and they
No,
got
I have.
involved, or?
I just do boys.
Okay.
The name of the company that I'm developing is called Sons of Mosiah Productions. There's in my family, there are four boys, and I have four boys. So
Oh,
it seemed
nice.
like a winning combination.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you understand I didn't have to have, and I've had people say, "Why don't you do something for girls?" And I thought, well, okay, first give me an idea. Nobody has any ideas. And secondly, look, I have boys. I do stuff for boys. But the game is very simplistic. And which, and I say this for game designers, one of the things that I am learning is that for a game to sell well, it really needs to be it needs to be simple, it needs to be easy to put together, to learn. Hey, hang on just a second, Mike.
Okay.
All right, thanks. It needs to be, you need to be, and I finally had this identified to me by Al Waller, who is the president of Out of the Box Games, the company that brought us Apples to Apples and such things. He wrote a little kind of steps of what makes a game popular, what makes a game sell. And I like challenging games that it might take me a little while to learn and so forth. But the mass population does not. They would like a quick, easy game, doesn't take too long to play, something you can sit down and play with your kids. And Book of Mormon Battles really was that. So when I developed this other game, which I thought was much more interesting and much more could be had the potential to actually teach something rather than just recognition of the characters, actually had in its built into the way the game went, ways for you to learn significant things about these people. But it's considerably more complex. As a result, I think it's more interesting, but it did not resonate well with most families. So whereas Book of Mormon Battles, there was a run on them when they first came out. The first print run was 10,000, and the stores just got rid of them in no time, and they couldn't get more. And people kept coming in and asking for this game for Christmas, and so it was this real kind of, almost an LDS version of Tickle Me Elmo. People were really, I called various stores and stuff, and they said, "Oh, everyone's asking for it, and we just can't keep them in stock." And I thought, "Wow, that's so cool." Now, part of that, I think, was that there was nothing like it, and the cover was, I think, cool, and people said, "Oh, my kids would like this," and and I've had real good feedback on it, even though it's a, a real simple game. Now, as far as the design of the way the whole thing came together, Covenant was really responsible for doing the graphic design. Although I worked with the graphic designer there to try to come up with some way to do the cards so that it looked not like mainstream battle card games. They wanted it to be more, well, I would call it dry in its design, and the purpose of that was to try to be more respectful of the content. And as a result, the design's pretty simple. The text is bigger than you would find on other games because they wanted to make sure the adults could read it well. And so there was those kinds of concerns. So he would send me designs, I would give him feedback, I would throw out ideas, and he would, do stuff and so forth. But the funniest thing with designing the game actually came out of the cover design. This young graphic designer was working on cover ideas, and it just wasn't working. And I threw out cover ideas, and those just weren't working. And finally, I was wrestling with it on the computer at home, and my wife walked by and said, "Oh, you know what you need to do? You need to make those two smaller and put those back here and pull this up here." And I went, "Huh?" And I did it, and it was awesome. And I sent it to the graphic designer, and he said, "Oh, this is awesome." And they sent it to the committee, and they all said, "Hey, we love it." Just because my wife strolled by and threw out some feedback. And it was just funny. The two professionals were working on it, and we just couldn't get it. But that was a blast. So, anyways, they designed the size of the box and the way it was all going to be put together, and even the size of the cards and stuff like that. And my main job was just to keep giving them
The art.
the art. Now, for the second game, I was given much more control, and the
So did you approach them and say, I've got an idea for a second game?
no, they this Book of Mormon Battles sold spectacularly well for an LDS game, and a card games cost very little to publish. So there was a low risk factor and a high return on this. So they were asking for new stuff, and I had helped them also during this time with the Book of Mormon chess game. So I think they were anxious to have some more, and the chess game did well too. So, looking for more stuff. Well, my frustration with the game again was that I didn't feel it really inherently taught anything, and so I really wanted to come up with something that would be more like it. Now, there was a graduate student who his mother had given him a copy of Book of Mormon Battles, and he'd taken the game, he and his friends, and created their own. I mean, they took the cards and just made up cool stuff to do with them. So they'd come up with variations of the game and so forth to really, have a lot of fun at the level that they were interested in having fun. I thought, well, that is great. So I talked to them a couple of times about, ideas and so forth, and it started getting me thinking in different directions. And I began putting down some ideas, and soon I had this next the kind of the framework for this next card game. And so then I approached Covenant with it, and I think part of the problem was that what I'd done up until now had been real successful, and so they weren't very carefully watching over this project. And the art was certainly a step up from the first game, and so even though they didn't, and this was terrible, they weren't quite sure how the game was played. They didn't do the kind of test marketing and stuff that we did with the first one, and when I wrote up the rules, it only got through copy editing, and it didn't really get. If it got to editing, the editor didn't call me like previously in the first game. I'm not. It's hard to write rules for games, as you may have found. You don't know what they're going to be, what kind of questions they're going to have, or how they're going to take this particular sentence, and yet you don't want to bog it down and bore people. So, the first time, the editor had called me and had a real interest in games, and so we talked quite a bit about how the rules should be described, even making variations in the rules, that kind of stuff. So we really he really helped me to take the rules and put it together in a way that was very palatable. It didn't happen the second time, and for a more complicated game, I think that might have been one of the kisses of death of it. So not only was it more complex, people seemed to have a hard time with the rules. I put just a ton of information up on the website for anybody who had questions and so forth. But a lot of people are saying, "Look, if I have to go to a website to understand this game," and some people don't seem to have any problem with it at all. And
Yeah,
then,
I found it really easy to just read through and start playing.
yeah, there's a number of people that didn't. So, anyways, that game has not done particularly well. Better than some, but certainly not to expectation. And
So from that, it makes me think that in the LDS market anyway, you need to focus more on kids. Because, like you're saying, Book of Mormon Battles is a simpler game, and so you add in more complexity and more depth with Warriors of the Promised Land, and like you're saying, there were multiple reasons that it possibly didn't do as well, but that is
well, it
one
is,
that comes to mind.
again, it doesn't, one of the things that it doesn't do is it's not a game. Personally, I think it's easy to do this with, but I think in general for people, it doesn't seem to be a game that people can just sit down, pick up, and play with the group. So, I mean, personally, I think once you know how to play it, it's really easy to do that with. But games could be unforgiving, and I'm unforgiving with games that I have to struggle with to learn. I'm like, ah, I got other games I could play. So I'm not sure what the answer is exactly, except to say, and I would definitely say not to focus on kids, because adults the same way want a quick to learn, quick to play, fun game. My focus on anything that I'm doing, I'm constantly thinking of teenagers. I think teenagers get skipped as far as LDS products go more than any group. We've got tons of stuff for kids, especially young kids. primary age kids, and we've got lots for adults, but the teenage group seems to be one that's tough. I'm incredibly committed to that age group. And so my hope is that, I've certainly heard from some people that have enjoyed the game and enjoyed something that's a bit more challenging. But whatever age group you're targeting, within that age group, the majority of people are going to want a game that's quick to learn, quick to play, and fun.
Right.
So that, I think, is the main difference between Warriors. Whatever else, Book of Mormon Battles had that aspect, and Warriors didn't.
Right.
So.
So, and you said that Book of Mormon Battles, they did 10,000 was the initial print run?
Yeah, each print run for Covenant on these things is 10,000. I think that holds true for books and stuff as well. That's higher than, say, a company that does mainstream games like Out of the Box Games does
Right.
runs 5,000. It's kind of a big print run.
Right. But you said they all sold out,
Well, for
all.
Book of Mormon Battles, it's had no problems. I think we're past the 30,000
Wow.
mark in sales. And consider that in the mainstream market, a mainstream children's book on average will sell about 10,000 copies during its lifetime, and that's on a
Wow.
national market.
Right.
This is a niche market within a niche market within a niche market. We're
Yeah.
religious, and then the niche of that is we're LDS, and the niche of
Right.
that is it's Book of Mormon, and the niche of that is it's games. So, I mean, it couldn't be more niched,
Yeah.
and yet the games had quite a lot of success. So,
Do you know, did they do other languages and sell it outside of the United States?
now that's a thing that I've got to figure out for myself. I am desperate to want to have other language things out there, but from a business standpoint, and Covenant and other companies are certainly, I mean, that's they understand business better than I do. There just isn't a market for that, considering that you'd have to translate everything and reprint everything, and then hope
Well,
that.
especially these two games, because
Right.
there's a lot of text there.
There is, and even if I had volunteered, if I had translators that were willing to volunteer their time to put this together, I still don't think that they would do it in another language, because even though there's lots of Spanish-speaking members of the church, many of them aren't in an economic system where they're going to purchase
Right.
luxury item like a game. Although I've had people who have emailed me from Ecuador and other countries south of the border that are asking about that possibility, and my heart aches because I really wish I could
Yeah.
offer something like that for them, and I'm certainly planning to be sensitive to that as I'm developing products for myself.
Yeah. And so how well has Warriors done?
I am not exactly sure. They've gone through the 10,000 for sure, but I don't think it's done a whole lot more than that. So, that, and at first I was really. I don't. Maybe I'm not the guy for this kind of business because I do take stuff, personally. I want so bad for the things that I do to be able to have some impact on somebody, which is why,
Right.
I'm not as much interested in doing mainstream products or games because it's when I do artwork, when I design artwork for installations, hospitals, schools, restaurants, the ones that I really care about are things like hospitals and schools where I really feel like my art could make a difference for kids or for people who are ailing. Am I happy that people could go into a restaurant and see nice paintings? Well, sure, but is it really changing their life? I don't think so, like it would in these other venues. So
Right.
with LDS stuff, I really care that it has some level of impact. And if it doesn't, then I want to change my focus towards something that does. So, I'm happy, delighted. What one? Okay, bottom line, any of these games, I make them so that I can get a copy of them. That's my number one thing. I wanted a copy of this game, so there we go. So I have my copies. And if other people are finding enjoyment, or even if they're able to use the cards as trivia cards with pictures on it, that's great. I mean, it's not a very expensive deck. So,
Oh yeah, I just a couple months ago got Warriors of the Promised Land for like $5 at Siegel Book.
yeah, I mean, that's
So,
nothing. And now you've
yeah.
got a whole pile of cards that got some good graphics on them, and you can read the descriptions and use them for a trivia game.
Yeah, well, hey, I definitely enjoyed the game.
Well, I
So,
appreciate that. And we do. Hey, by the way, this is, well, at the end of our conversation, I have to tell you the way that we're playing the game now, and see if you like that variation.
Well, really, I just have this. I think we've covered everything in my list here except for just, well, and you've answered this as we've gone along as well, just kind of things that you would share with someone else who wanted to attempt to get LDS games published.
This is a piece of advice that I got from the fellow who does the Latter Day Designs, the Book of Mormon action figures. When I was talking to him, he really, we were just both noticing how many new LDS kind of little self-publishing companies come and go every year. And I've certainly seen it in posters, in cards, that kind of stuff. That if you feel absolutely driven to do these things, if your motivation is really because you feel like this can have an impact on the spiritual level of even if it's for just a small group of people in the LDS community, then go for it. Whether you make money at it or not, that will have been a successful venture. The LDS market isn't a place to run into to make money. And if that's your motivation, thinking, hey, I've got this thing that nobody's thought of and it's going to really, make a lot of money, I'd recommend you look in some other directions. I don't think the LDS market is for that. I think it really is for being able to help others to get more out of the scriptures, to, in even small and obtuse ways, help to strengthen people's testimonies, and to share your enthusiasm with other people. But certainly be open for criticism. I think I should mention this. I'm sure that there are going to be game designers out there who will get Book of Mormon Battles or Warriors and go, ugh, I could do a way better game than this. How come they're not doing my game? One of the reasons I think my games were able to get published is I could supply the artwork. And that's significant. Again, I don't hold myself up as a great game designer, but I do want to try to communicate something of my love of the scriptures, and this is one way that I could do it.
Well, let
So,
me
go ahead.
never mind. I had a question on that, but it left me.
Oh,
Maybe it'll come back.
all right.
Go ahead.
There are great game ideas out there, but if Covenant or other companies feel that it's going to be too expensive to produce, and by too expensive, that also means designing the art. If you can't supply, art to go with it as part of your deal, if they've got to hire people for that and so forth, that adds up. So that's to be considered as well, which is probably one of the reasons why there isn't any other game that's got, the sheer amount of painted artwork in the way that this one does. It's really a labor of love, and it's something that I wanted to do for me, as well as sharing it with other people.
So I thought of two questions actually.
Hit it.
So when did not to get into specifics, but did they give you a higher royalty on sales because you had designed the game and done the artwork? Or do you know?
No. They have the LDS market, whether you're working on with any of the major publishers, they do have a set royalty that depending on what your project is and so forth. The only time that really changes is if you are, you know, if you're making lots of money, if you've got a, if your name really means something in the LDS community. That said, I did a survey as I was looking around for this in the game market and in the children's book publishing market. And the royalty setting, lower than some, higher than others. So, you know, they considered it to be somewhere in the middle, and I think it probably was. I think anybody who puts the kind of work in to these things, when you're looking at getting royalties back of, you know, 8, 9, or 10%, you're thinking, oh, but I did so much work. But what you've got to realize from any publisher, whether you're doing a book or anything, is how much overhead they have and
Right.
what services they're providing. I mean, they're getting stuff out into the stores. They have a whole fleet of salespeople and people that are working in the shipping department and who are project managing this job overseas, you know, who've got to handle all of that stuff. So yes, you created it, but to get it out there, you're one small piece of the pie. So the fortunate part is, and you know, those kinds of numbers are, you'll find them even in the music industry, you know, for album releases and that kind of stuff. The thing is, they're selling millions of units, and so then that can add up well. So that was one question.
Yeah, and also all of the artwork in the game, do you own it?
Yes. The contract for the game was, and this is similar with a book, is that the design, the content of the book is still yours. In this case, the content of the game, the art, the text, the gameplay are all still mine. And part of what they did was that they had registered that copyright for me. But the design, the packaging of the game is theirs, just like the packaging of a book would be the publisher's. So.
So the actual cards, I mean, you could take your images and your text, throw them on some different cards.
Yep. Yep. And that's, you know, on one hand, initially I was thinking, well, that's good because then I can use the art for this and this. But one of my problems is that I look at that and I say, yeah, I bet I could do that better. So I don't know how much I'll end up using for much, but yeah, but I certainly can if I want to.
Well, and going back to that, you said they wanted it by April. When did you? So I guess how much time did you have to put all
Well,
of those
this was
images through?
not a lot, and I had to take time off of work and everything else to try to, and then, you know, then we threw the chess game into the midst of that as well. So it was really a harried schedule, but you know, my wife and family were very committed to helping me to get it done. The I think it was approved for production. I think it was November, and then we had, when was it? So November and December, January, February, you know, however that adds up, 4 or 5 months. We ended up getting it done by May. But the real push is not just to get it in stores, which they want to, but they wanted to get the publication and stuff done so that they could at least have a prototype to take to the LDS Booksellers Convention in August. Yeah, so
Sorry, go
that's,
ahead.
no, that's a, you know, a way that you get people excited about your new content. So that's a real.
And I've actually, I looked at that, the LDSBA or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Because I was interested, it seems like a good avenue to pursue, in this realm anyway. But, to become members and, get there and stuff like that, you need to be a company with accounts and things.
I
Can you attend without even being anybody?
well,
Just show up?
no. You do have to have at least a product. That is the policy. So, for example, I wouldn't have been able to attend this year if I had wanted to, because I don't have anything yet. But once you have a product, then you can. You do have to be a member as well. It's $100 a year fee for that.
Anyway, so I just was kind of thinking that'd be a good, if someone wanted to go out on their own and do something like this, then that would be a good avenue to pursue, I
I
think.
think so, and I one of the reasons why I think so is it's a great place to get not just the big name bookstores as Siegel and Deseret, but there's a lot of what you'd call mom and pop LDS bookstores, and many of them will attend to look for new product, and many of them will buy what they're going to buy for the year there, as I understand it. So,
Oh,
so it's good to come there with lots of product, so people can buy it. But you also, I mean, another thing that I've been talking to people about, and hopefully I'll have more information for you in the next year about, the world of self-publishing and in the LDS world. But you want to give sample games out to the different stores and get them playing them and kind of sold on your product. In the world of blogs and groups and that kind of stuff, sending stuff out to people who are doing that is a very good idea. Getting them interested and letting them get the word out online. Personally, I think it's great to have a website for your game. That was something that was important to me. I my dream initially was, and here's, here's me in my little fantasy world saying, hey, I bet kids are going to buy Book of Mormon Battles, and then they're going to be like, hey, this is really cool. Where could I learn more? And then, they can go to the website, and then I'll have games and activities and, ways for them to learn more about the various people. So I'd put the game up as, or put the website up as a way to try to add extra things that kids could do to get involved in the scriptures. And as it is, I've got, videos up there to learn how to make your own padded weapons so you can beat each other up just the way the Nephites and Lamanites did. There's the single coolest online LDS trivia game. Have you played that at all?
What's it called?
I'd call it Book of Mormon Challenge. It's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but it's Book of Mormon style. You should definitely check that out. That's the single most popular thing on the website. And there's
So
a,
that's something that you put up there?
yeah, I'm, I, and all of this is content that I've just made for, if I didn't know how to do it, for example, I didn't know how to program the game. And I mostly have non-members that help me with this stuff. Most of the models that pose for the paintings, people that have, like the fellow who had designed the Flash game for me was kind enough to do it for free, and but he's not a member.
Nice.
And it's interesting to note that I've had it's been easier to get help from non-members on this stuff than
Really?
from members of the church. But I'm thinking maybe members of the church are just so very busy that they can't volunteer for these kinds of things. But whatever the case, I really love involving non-members in these projects.
Right. Well, I mean, they can get some sort of exposure to
Well,
the
yeah,
scriptures and
I was just interviewing a model yesterday for this book, and when I brought up the Book of Mormon, she noticeably got tense, just a little, and then I just started telling her these stories, and not only did she loosen up about it, but and I found this time and time again, they get really touched by these stories, and so they get so excited about being involved. In this, I have a fellow who's a graphic designer friend of mine who is posed for three or four different paintings for the Book of Mormon. He just loves it. Absolutely loves it. So I think that's great. That's the fun of doing these kinds of projects out in the Midwest.
All
So
right, any other insights, experiences you'd like to share with the possible game designers, publishers?
oh gosh. I don't know. I don't know. One of the biggest things I would want to be able to try to figure out for folks is getting the, good if Covenant really likes the game, or whoever really likes the game, they'll figure out a way to get artwork for it. But if it's just an okay game, but it, you know, might have some great artwork with it, that can really help to sell it. If they know that they don't have to spend a lot of money, because it's the artwork that's going to attract people to your game.